You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and yep, covering down on all of it, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, well, Texas Taco Soup is up on Twitter and is already being reposted by several people, and I noticed I had one new follower immediately who then reposted Charlene's recipe for Texas Taco Soup, so thank you to Ben for that. It's up at Sen Phil Williams, S-E-N Phil Williams. Texas Taco Soup is there. Go for it and do me a favor if you're so inclined, then repost it to your own and share it. Let the lovely Charlene become viral as we speak. I'm saying, just going for it. We also sent it to several people on the text line right here. So several folks have already got it and said thank you. I hope y'all enjoy it as much as I do. My gosh. It is one of my favorite things. She's a good cook. It's a wonder I don't weigh quite much more than I do. But she's a good cook, and this is one of my favorites. So, yay. Mm-hmm. Jeff from Indiana says, you may have to add a category to the Right Side website, recipes. Yeah, he says, Phil, just posted on Right Side and the stack of stuff under the heading Texas Taco Soup. Marcus from Huntsville says, we keep forgetting that when the Biden administration says they have some things under control, it does not necessarily mean that it's getting better. It just means things are going as planned. Oh, that's a good phraseology. David from Huntsville says, Britt Hume last night says, nobody motivates Republicans more than Biden, and nobody motivates Democrats more than Trump. That's pretty accurate. Thank you. Thank you, David. Jeremy from Huntsville says Donald Trump is to the liberal media a mass shooter. They believe not acknowledging him is like not infamously saying a mass shooter's name.
It is cute that they think that they're not talking about him is relevant, given his ability and everyone else's ability to reach, I mean, millions of followers and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, it's
like, ooh. You're really stopping people from knowing about Trump. It's like, get over yourself, CNN. Yeah. You know, like, people quit listening to you a long time ago.
Yeah, it's you're right. But it is. I tell you what, let's jump on. Let's speaking of food, though, let's move forward on something else.
Yes.
Leave Trump aside for a second. Let's talk about soup a little bit later. But it is up on the @SenPhilWilliams Twitter. And at the same time, though, we have to recognize that some of the news that happens that is important in our lives actually happens in our own backyards. You can care about what's in D.C., but I swear to you, what happens in your city council, or for that matter, in your state capital, can be as important to your daily life as anything else. So we like to, every once in a while, grab up some of those stories that happen in and around amongst us and cook them up in what we call a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. Smell them from here. Just cooking up the home fries. Okay, by the way, Senator Katie Britt, first story I've got, National News, Newsmax. Butters has given me the look. Why are you giving me the look? What's the look for?
I'm patiently waiting to hear about the lovely Senator Britt.
Senator Katie Britt is Mark Halperin from Newsmax, political analyst. He says he sees Alabama Senator Katie Britt as Donald Trump's choice for his running mate in the presidential election. He's considering this to be the time for VP Katie Britt. What thinkest thou on this one, Butters?
That would be pretty interesting. I know a lot of folks around here, are big supporters of hers. I got to meet her personally with some of the issues that we were dealing with around here as she was running. Pretty impressive.
There were a lot of questions when she first ran because there's no voting record to look at, right? The only person that ran in that race that had a voting record was Mo Brooks. So everybody could see Mo's voting record. All you could do was hope with, charge to Mike Durant and Katie Britt. But Tommy Tuberville had no voting record. I've had nothing, to say about that. Katie Britt had no voting record, but she has come on strong. She's also got that engaging personality. Well, I think it's too soon. I do see her probably having a political future beyond the Senate. I don't know if it's yet, but I find this interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to let her get her, because she's also, I mean, just coming in as a senator, I mean, because she's been up on Capitol Hill for a while now, right?
She was chief of staff for Shelby, yeah.
So, I mean, like, she knows how to get things done.
Yeah, Halperin says, I'm going all in on this, because I think compared to all the other alternatives, her upsides are huge. Her downsides are very minimal. And above all else, she can go to the suburbs of Philadelphia, Atlanta, Milwaukee, and Phoenix, and most of the other people being talked about would have trouble doing that. She speaks fluent MAGA.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the initial thoughts I would go, well, you know, I think, is she more valuable to us in the Senate right now? You know, is she really going to get Trump more votes? You know, is she going to draw people from the middle, maybe middle left, that might want to, you know, consider? I mean, she is pretty strong leaning right, so that may not be a good attractant. I don't know.
I will say this, though. In terms of getting out there and gathering up people, she is, and I said it during her race, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody as good at what they call retail politics as her. She can shake hands, hug necks, give a speech, remember someone's name, you know, love on their baby, and everybody feel like they were in the room with someone who they knew by the time they left. And that's called retail politics. Bill Clinton was really good at that, you know. Ronald Reagan was really good at that. And it's rare to find someone who can handle policy and the administration of their office, and, oh, by the way, do retail politics too.
We have to get somebody good to fill that Senate seat, though.
Yeah, we do. I'll be honest. I don't think she's going to do it. I don't think it's time yet. But I'm not going to be a bit surprised if we don't see her as part of a future administration. I mean, come on. Let's look at 2028. DeSantis and Britt. Alabama, Florida.
Wouldn't be
taking it by storm. Here's one that is very, very local. All right, now listen. I recognize that our listening audience is huge. We got a bunch of y'all that go way down south of, you know, Birmingham, and you might not recognize what I'm about to say. But if you spend any time in Huntsville, and I grew up there, if you spend any time in Huntsville, it's just like every other city and town in the world, there are iconic places that you gather to break bread. And in Huntsville, one of those for my entire life has been Gibson's Barbecue. Gibson's Barbecue, I mean, known for like its baked potato, its pulled pork, its white sauce. For me, I loved their Brunswick stew. We used to go buy it by the gallon when we had family gatherings. Like, gallon of Brunswick stew. Giant, you know, tub of Brunswick stew.
Okay.
Gibson's Barbecue. My dad was one of the cronies at Gibson's. For years, he held court there along with some other cronies at the round tables, kind of over in the backside of Gibson's, every morning. I mean, like, it got to the point that some of those guys had to actually, you know, get sort of, you know, told to calm down because they felt like they owned the place. It's sad to think that right now, basically, Gibson's is a pile of rubble. It's been torn down. The sign along Memorial Parkway is still visible. But a story here on WHNT says that the Lutheran Church, which I believe is the church right next door to it, if I'm not mistaken, Grace Lutheran, right there on the parkway, is looking at buying the property for about $3.5 million. I look at this and go, wow. It's an icon. I remember when the Stars used to play at the stadium across the street. When the Stars played, the minor league baseball team, the old team we had, when the Stars would play and a home run hit, Gibson's would flash the neon sign. That's just, you know, it was just part of the community. So anyway, I just say all that because, dadgummit, I can. I have a microphone, and I just want to say to the family who ran Gibson's for so many years, because it was a family-owned business, thank you for making, you know, such great barbecue and great memories for so many years. We're going to miss you. Have I got a phone call right now? Is that Wolverine Dan? Let me grab some Wolverine Dan. Wolverine Dan, how you doing, brother?
Well. We had the dog and pony show last night, didn't we?
We did. What do you think about New Hampshire?
Lord have mercy. All right, first off, Phil, tell me this. Please, help me here, because it drives me crazy, because I know what's going on, but tell me your reason why they do this. So this morning I wake up, pop on the news, with 91% of the votes that came in, all right, 91% of the votes that came in over 12 hours ago, how come it can't be 100% votes? This is 2024. We're not counting with the abacus. We're not counting with chalk in a chalkboard or on our fingers. Phil, please help me with this because it drives me crazy because I know what they're doing. What they're doing is they're dragging their feet so they can go underneath the table where a cloth table, we've seen it before, or, you know, in a back room, they put the covers over the cameras, and then all of a sudden, miraculously, the guy that was trailing by, let's just say 600,000, which it was 4 years ago in Pennsylvania, ends up by losing by 600,000. You tell me, please.
Okay, so, well, first of all, I do not disagree. Like, I watched the nation of Taiwan. Well, nation, they don't, China doesn't want to call it a nation, but they're the nation of Taiwan, did their vote, paper ballots, hand counted, had it all done in one day. That was most recently. But I will say this, a part of that percentage is missing is going to be the provisional ballots, the absentee ballots, and the military ballots, all of which get counted after the fact. So those are probably part of what's missing right now. But
why can't we ask for those ballots a month in advance?
Well,
so therefore we have the vote, then we can do the rest of the vote.
Well, and I'm of the mind too that the military ballot, it ought to be counted up front, because I get so aggravated when they're not even part of the factor. You know, they don't even need them, but so they don't have to count them. And to me, that's just wrong. If your military is voting from overseas, you better start counting those ballots.
So this is what I'm thinking real quickly.
All right, got about a minute.
I'm not sure with her perspective where she's going here, Nikki Haley, but I'm telling you, George Soros, you know, now is drooling and eating applesauce. So the guy's kind of out of the picture, but his son took it over, all that money. I wouldn't be surprised if they were kind of shoving a little cash and just keep it running, lady, because we, you know, the more votes that you get and the more havoc that you install in this election, where we should just figure this out right now, make him the nominee, President Trump, and let's invest all our efforts and money toward the victory.
I tend to agree. It's time to coalesce. I mean, we need to get busy. And I recognize that she has her right to campaign, but I do not see a path forward for her right now unless something happens to Trump. I don't. And even if something happens to Trump, I think on the floor of the convention, I don't know that Nikki Haley would prevail.
Thank you, Phil, for having your show and let me talk.
All right, brother. See ya. All right, we got to take a break. Take that break. We'll come right back. Don't forget, by the way, bottom of the hour, we will have former state representative Paul DeMarco calling in, talking about the next legislative session. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like, you know, saving the world one soundbite at a time. So we're in number two of the Triple Dipper. And don't forget, after the next break, which is only a few minutes away, former state representative Paul DeMarco, who still has his finger very much on the pulse of state politics, is going to be calling in, giving some thoughts on where things are going with the next legislative session. I can tell you right now, in terms of home fries, which is what we're doing, we're cooking up a batch of home fries right this very minute, news stories here and among us. Let's talk about what's about to happen. So the legislature goes into session in just a few weeks, maybe next week, actually. But the things you can always see coming are the ones that get the press conferences or the ones that wind up having a news article. I mean, there's going to be scads of bills. You will not even be aware of the vast majority. There'll be tweaks to the limited liability companies law or tweaks to the regulatory effects of this thing. a lot of stuff just flies under the radar. It's minutia. But then there's the biggins. And one of the biggins had a press conference yesterday. So Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth and State Senate Pro Tem Greg Reed and a couple of others, Representatives Danny Garrett and Kelvin Lawrence, and then, you know, reps from the Business Council of Alabama and some others, got together and had a press conference at the State House to announce the fact that Ainsworth, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth's 21st Century Workforce Commission had now come forth with its plan to help develop jobs in the economy in the state of Alabama at a higher level. Now, Alabama's unemployment rate is really good. Like, we're in the twos. I want to say 2.7%. That's a great unemployment rate. But our labor force participation rate sucks. It's awful. Our labor force is the problem. When you have 2.7% unemployment, but your labor force participation rate runs at like 54%, that makes us one of the highest in the nation. You don't want the labor force participation rate to be that high. Or what that's saying is that there's a large sector of the working population who is not even looking for a job. They're just sitting out. They've just chosen not to. And that's not good. We want to encourage those folks to re-engage. And some of that is still post-COVID. I mean, like for crying out loud, it's time to stop talking about COVID like it's a crutch. All right? No more of this. Get back to work. If you're laying out for some reason that's unrelated to the fact that you just can't work, get back to work. We need you. And by the way, the jobs are available. Well, the 21st Century Workforce Commission, they held this press conference. Ainsworth himself said, "Our commission has created a plan to align our job training efforts so Alabama can seize new opportunities and connect all Alabamians with 21st century employment." And he's got a series of reforms. All right, let me tell you what some of them are. I can't cover all of them. You're going to wind up seeing legislation, some of which will be baked into the budget, some of which will be baked into the education arena, some of which will be solo legislation designed for, you know, enhancing businesses' abilities to get something done. But you've got several that I think are pretty cool, one of which is easing access to scholarships for military transition. What does that mean? Engage state and federal leaders to remove barriers and restrictions that prevent former active and reserve military members from utilizing funding they're entitled to for training. What that basically means is if you have a military background, you may have a certification or a skill set or training level that you can bring to bear into the Alabama workforce. They're going to find scholarship ability to get you licensed to go forward in the state of Alabama if you were bringing that with you. How about child care tax credits? That's a big deal, y'all. I mean, people got small kids. It's hard to go to work. Child care is expensive. And if you've got a household that requires the parents to both be out to sustain, you know, the bills getting paid and everything else, child care tax credits, that might actually mean something. What that basically means is you get to claim that on your taxes and write it off. How about this? Mental health and addiction diversion programs. What that's talking about there is giving you an opportunity to avoid jail where you lose the chance to work if you will do certain engaging things to correct your life. And then, you know, recruitment and others. I'm just telling you, this is going to be a huge part of this session, and we'll talk about it more. Coming up next, former State Representative Paul DeMarco. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one right here, Alabama. I'm talking about y'all. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, before I go to the phones, I will tell you that the Texas taco soup recipe from Charlene is now on my Twitter feed, at Sen Phil Williams, S-E-N, at Sen Phil Williams. And it's making waves, bro. I would love to see Charlene's Texas taco soup. If we're going to put it out there, man, make it trend. Make it trend. And I've already texted it to several people as well. So thank you all very much for that. That's a blessing. Hey, listen, I'm going to bring somebody on right now who I was proud to serve with in the Alabama legislature, Paul DeMarco. He's a lawyer practicing in Birmingham. He is also a former state representative, represented District 46, I believe, still lives in the Birmingham area and keeps his finger on the pulse of all things political. He writes a column that comes out quite often in different periodicals around the state. And so anyway, proud to call him friend and bring him on the show right now. Paul DeMarco, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, hope you and your listeners are well. It is wet down in the Birmingham area. It is a lot of rain, so hope everything in your neck of the woods, everybody is safe out there.
Yeah, we're dry, but I imagine we're going to be getting some of your stuff here for too much longer. So if you're on the road right now, Paul, just be careful, brother.
I will. So thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, the legislative session about to kick off. You and I both know what that's like. Like to joke that the state is always safer when the legislature's not in session, but they're going in, and there's a lot of things on tap, and I've got some on my desk right here, but I also know, too, that some of what I don't have in front of me right now that you've got your finger on the pulse of is stuff that's being done with regards to pardons and paroles and public safety and that kind of thing. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, let me say this. there's always, understandably, a lot of criticism for lawmakers and some of the stuff that happens, but I will give credit where credit is due. Last year, there was a lot of good legislation regarding public safety that came out, regarding stiffening the penalties for gang violence after that terrible mass shooting in Dadeville last year, as you recall, Phil.
Yeah.
Fentanyl trafficking, they really worked on that. Retail theft, you can turn on your TV every night and see around the country the real problem with retail theft and shoplifting rings. The good time laws that needed to be addressed. So that was some good legislation that needed to be passed. But look, we're right back at it again, and we've got some stuff that needs to get passed, Phil, and then some stuff that needs to be stopped. I'll tell you, there's an effort to weaken the parole board.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the, and look, you're familiar with what happened in 2018, the triple murder in Marshall County. I know within your coverage area and listening area, by someone who was let out of parole, should have never been let out, committed those three murders, and lawmakers, to their credit, passed legislation along with the governor and the attorney general to reform the parole board. Well, because the parole board has been looking at each case on a case-by-case basis, the far-left advocacy groups in Montgomery and Democrats and other folks, they don't like that.
No.
So they're attacking Lee Gwaltney, the chair who is doing her job, best parole board chair we've had in a long time, and now they're trying to say 80% of the folks ought to be let out. Well, you know, you serve 80% of the people in prison are there for violent felonies. It's hard to be put in a state prison. You have to be commit violent felonies, have committed multiple crimes to be put there. And so, unfortunately, Phil, you would think, oh, your listeners would say, hey, this is Alabama, we're a conservative state. But there's a lot of money being spent to advocate for Republican legislators with a supermajority to weaken our criminal justice system.
Well, if I'm not mistaken,
that's what we need to be watching.
If I'm not mistaken, Sue Bell Cobb is at the heart of that, a lot of it, and she's the former Chief Justice, Democrat, very liberal. She actually, I said on the show yesterday, she actually got in my face as a freshman, and I mean literally, got in my face, pointed her finger in my face, and told me that I needed to start correcting some of these laws. Asked me what I thought I was going to tell my constituents when I had, you know, prisons overpopulated, and I said, well, what are you going to tell my constituents when their streets are less safe? She didn't care for that. Of course, she resigned soon thereafter.
I got a similar story when I was judiciary chairman that I can share one day. And I said, lawmakers, their number one priority should be public safety. Number one priority should be public safety. And there's a real concern about there, a number of bills to weaken our our justice system, and everybody needs to be paying attention and watch what their state representatives and senators. There were some bills that got out of committee and it passed that you just couldn't believe.
Yeah.
And it's just shocking what's going on down there. Look, and there's another bill that needs to be passed regarding work releases. There are folks that have been convicted of murder and who've been sentenced to decades in prison, and within I know there's a case, somebody's been out 8 years, and they're on unsupervised work release back in their community. I want you to think about this, Phil. We all think you got convicted of murder, you're going to be in the state penitentiary for a long time, if not life without. Right now, there are folks getting out on work release who were convicted of murder and are on unsupervised work release in our community. It's got to be addressed like good time law was addressed as well, Bill.
Well, I completely agree. And, you know, when you look around right now, the trend in the nation is for conservatives to be calling out soft on crime policies. Liberals are going for it, but yet we have a Republican supermajority in our state Senate and House, and there is no reason why they should feel pressure to go softer on crime. None whatsoever.
And I'll tell you, one of the reasons is there is thousands and thousands of dollars pouring to the state, Phil, for all these far-left advocacy groups. And you know the alphabet groups of them. There's the ACLU and Alabama Appleseed and Southern Poverty Law Center and Equal Justice Initiative. You know, they're like, oh, we need to go back and let these folks out. I mean, they're there for violent crimes. And they always cherry-pick, well, this person wasn't let out. Well, what do you say about the person who murdered somebody or raped a woman or was a pedophile? They want to cherry pick, but they don't want to talk about the majority of the reason these individuals are not being released is they didn't serve their sentences, which is another thing, is they don't want truth in sentencing, Phil. They don't want truth in sentencing, which you have closer in the federal system. They won't say, oh, yeah, they got sentenced for 40 years, but then they're up for parole a lot sooner than that. It's a real problem in our state. We've got a lot of issues to address, but this is a real problem. And only if your state representatives and senators hear from you and know that you're watching will this get addressed.
Yeah, and when you look at, too, I mean, don't think for a second that we're a safer state per se, because Birmingham has one of the highest murder rates per capita of any city in the nation. And if you look at things like Mayor Randall Woodfin granting blanket immunities or pardons to, you know, municipal drug convictions back to 1992. I mean, was he even born then? But the truth is, you've got spots in this state that will take advantage of soft on crime opportunities given the opportunity to do so.
Absolutely, and that's why it's just been such a joke that AL.com has been harassing. It's just a hit piece on the best parole board chair we've ever had, and calling her, it's just been disgusting. Yet, look at the Birmingham News. Every headline is about a murder or a kill. Go pull it up right now. How many people have been killed since January 1st? We had more murders in Jefferson County last year than we had the year before, but that's not what they want to talk about. They're not worried about crime victims. They're more worried, just like these far-left advocacy groups, for letting the bad guys out of jail. And this string of articles they've been doing on the parole board was funded by Columbia University, a grant from Columbia University, where all the anti-Semitism is going on. And so do you really give any credibility when you see who's funding these type of articles?
Well, so let me switch gears on you in the about 3 or 4 minutes we got left, because in the legislative processes, Alabama is one of the states that has two budgets, one of which is the Education Trust Fund. Last year, a record historic $8.8 billion education budget. I mean, that's big doings. You can't say, I mean, the teachers union will say constantly, you don't fund education enough. We fund it more every single year, but the numbers aren't going up. So this year it appears we may be poised to see meaningful school choice passed. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, and let me just make one point is, I know they've got to be thinking, we cannot continue to be spending the way we're doing, because the day is coming when the economy will not be where it needs to be, and we won't be able to spend all these money. So I know they're thinking they're going to have to pull back some on these budgets. I think it's been the past 3 years, Phil, because you've had the COVID dollars, so they're going to have to pull back on some of that, I hope. And because the good news is Alabama has to balance its budget.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but you're right. We're going to see some school choice. You know, what I would say to that is you want to see what the legislation, you know, my one concern is, I just want to make sure is you don't force any public school system to accept students if they say they don't want to do it. That to me is not conservative, because if you've got a school system that is doing well and then everybody wants to go in their school system, you're not going to help those students by having 35 students in one classroom. So I think it should be up to each school system to decide if they are willing to accept students, because it's not fair to those students and parents if all of a sudden their school system, because they're doing so well, says they have to open up to everybody.
Well,
so that would be my only caveat.
I think the place that's going to wind up having to be, you know, metered out on that, or mediated to some degree, is going to be, you know, there has to be a capacity issue. So if they're already at capacity, then they can't. If they're not at capacity, they're going to have to justify not taking someone, and they may have to set up like a raffle or a drawing kind of thing where people who want to be in that system have a chance to be considered.
But I don't think, I mean, you and I may just completely disagree. I do not think a school system should be forced. I mean, I represented four school systems for the best, and they're like, they should not be forced to take someone from outside their system. They should not be forced to do that. Those parents that live in that school system, they pay the taxes. They work hard to make sure they have the best school system. They should not be forced to have to take someone from outside the system. Well, I don't think it's fair to that school system or those parents or those students.
I think
you can have school choices about homeschool and private schools and charter schools, but a school system should not be forced to take a student or students from outside they don't live in that within that city.
I think that's going to be one of the things that we look at, because when you look at it, there's two gates right now that I think the school choice, and we got about a minute left here, but the school choice debate is going to get hung up on two things. It's not going to be the money. It's not going to be they're not going to be able to deny parents anymore. But what they are going to get hung up on is the issue you just mentioned, and the other is going to be the state school board having the ability to, in some way, certify private schools and homeschool groups, which is exactly what private schools and homeschool groups don't want. And if they're going to require testing or accountability at that level, it's going to make it fall apart.
Right. I think the first issue is the one that I've got the concern, and I've heard from parents, you know, that's their number. They haven't talked about the second one. I'll let somebody else have, you know, private schools and homeschool, that they make that argument. The first one, legitimate concern about something like that.
Well, and I think that's going to be debatable. I mean, I got mixed feelings on it. I think there's going to have to be some measure of justification. I don't think you can just put up a firewall. But at the same time, if a parent is willing to make up the difference in what's not being paid by them in localized taxes, and there's an opening because the schools are not at capacity, then I think there's going to have to be some measure of consideration given. Hey, brother, we're out of time, man, but I'm going to have you back on sometime soon, because there's a whole lot more than just education and public safety. We may have budgeting issues and other things to talk about later, all right?
Hey, thank you to you and your listeners. I hope y'all have a great day and stay safe out here in this wet weather.
All right, brother, we'll see you. That's State Representative, former State Representative Paul DeMarco, who served in the House from the Birmingham area. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I got a little more of home fries. We didn't even scratch the surface on what I've got in my hands. We'll get back to it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. It is coming up here, top of the hour. We'll be having the Grand Council right after the 4 o'clock break with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. So y'all stand by for that one. So a couple more things here in our home fries segment. By the way, I got to jump in. This is not even a home fries. Breaking news, like big surprise. The United Auto Workers Union has just endorsed Joe Biden for president, calling Donald Trump a scab. Okay. Never mind the fact that because of Joe Biden, they had to go on strike most recently because his EV push is crushing auto worker jobs. But that's, you know, neither here nor there. He's their guy. Okay, so back to home fries. Right here in Alabama, there is one bill that I find very interesting because this year, I don't know if some of y'all experienced this, but property taxes went through the roof. What the heck? I mean, you look at it and go, it's the same house that I had last year that I got this year. Why is it suddenly taxing at a 40% increase? That happened everywhere. It's not right. I mean, you get somebody comes out there and goes, yeah, you know, I'm looking at that house and I'm pretty sure, you know, in today's market, it's going to be assessed at a 40% increase over last year. What changed? We didn't do anything to it. We just lived here. In fact, if anything, it should have depreciated a little bit, but no. Well, there's a bill right now, Representative Philip Pettis out of Green Hill. He's got a bill that's coming up that basically would cap the ability to raise your property taxes. So Butters and I were at a meeting the other night, and State Senator Andrew Jones was talking about this very thing. Right now, Alabama does not cap property. They could raise it 100% if they wanted to. There's no cap on it. They could just continue to exponentially increase every year. So the bill coming out on commercial and business properties would cap them at 5% increase, no more than. And on single-family homes and agricultural land, it would be 3%. So that's good legislation. I understand that taxes exist. Even Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. He recognized that taxes exist. It's how we pay for roads and do stuff like that. I get it. But you know what? There's got to be a place where you look at it and go, we can't just tax them into oblivion. And so I appreciate the fact they're looking at bringing that bill. Here's one more piece for home fries. So our friends at the Alabama Policy Institute, where I was proud to be on staff for several years, API just ran a poll. So gambling is coming up. Not just gambling, not just we want to vote on a lottery. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the people that have been breaking our laws for years are suddenly going to be allowed to have a legal Class 3 gaming casino. Why would you? Some of these folks, like the guy that owns Green Track, is into the state for like $25 million in back taxes he hasn't paid. I mean, it's just like, why are we rewarding these people? But nonetheless, once again, the gaming bill will come up. There will be an attempt by members of the House this time to bring up a bill that would expand casino gaming. Alabama Policy Institute polled it. They hired an organization called, where was it? Montgomery Research ran a poll, and it polls like so low that you look at it and go, why are you wasting all that political capital? In today's economy, right now what they're saying is the top thing for Alabamians polled out at jobs in the economy. Makes sense. Healthcare, 19%. Protecting our kids, 12%. Education needs to increase too. Gambling expansion, polled in the single digits, 7%. So, okay, when you watch, and you watch, it'll happen. When you watch all the air getting sucked out of the State House by a gambling bill, that has got multiple lobbying firms working for it, and you've got legislators debating for hours on end, and you've got filibusters occurring on the House and the Senate floor, and then you've got who knows what else. When you see maybe even a special session being called just for gambling, and it only polls at 7%, you have to ask yourself, is it that hard to drive to Biloxi? I'm just saying, why are we doing this? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming up next, the Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.